So again, I want to welcome you all. This is our Living from the Heart teleseminar. We're going to be doing these every week up until the 18th when we have the live seminar in Nashville. And this is going to be held with Dr. Alex Lloyd and his mentor, Larry Napier, and that's who we're going to be talking to today. And each week we're going to be covering some of the material that actually changed Dr. Lloyd's life and prepared his heart for the Healing Codes breakthrough. And I'm just excited to be here again with Larry. Larry, I want to welcome you again to the call. Hi there.
I'm here. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you. Okay.
Everybody, just keep remembering Alex. He's in Honduras doing. He goes down there every year to do some mission work, and so I hope he'll be able to be with us next week. But he really needs us to be thinking, mindful of Tracy and the boys.
Great. Thank you for reminding us of that. Appreciate that. And Larry, what I'd like to do before we really dive into new material is for those people who missed the call or weren't able to make the call last Friday and haven't listened to that, if we could just go over some of that material. Now, last week I asked you what you told Dr. Lloyd 18 years ago that had such a big impact on his life and really became the basis of your relationship. And I'm just going to summarize your answer. You said that practically everything that we have been taught was wrongfully or woefully incomplete, and that really our schools and churches and industries have lost the true definition of what the heart is, or the revelation of what the heart is and where it is and how to get there, and that until we can rediscover the heart, that it's impossible to learn to live from it, and that it is important to live from it, that that's really the only way to do it. And then that you also told him about the day that you actually decided that you were going to forget everything that you had ever been taught and decided to start over again. And you challenged him to do the same. And that's a very bold challenge for both of you. And then the rest is history. And now, 18 years later, both you and Dr. Lloyd are asking us to do the same thing. Is that correct?
Well, I guess the short answer is yes, but it's yes with a huge disclaimer.
Uh-huh.
We're not asking anyone to believe what we believe. We're only asking people to consider what we've discovered, because a part of starting over includes the commitment for yourself to never again allow anyone to tell you what to believe. Because truth is self-authenticating, Laura, and God's designed us to be able to recognize truth when we hear it, and truth is intensely personal. It's like love, personal. And if we're going to learn to live from the heart, we're going to have to begin by questioning everything we've been told and not accepting as truth what we've not been able to discover for ourselves. So that's what we're really offering to help people to do. That's what the 18th is really all about.
Great, and I love that statement, truth is self-authenticating. That is just brilliant. That's beautiful. And then you went on to say, to describe how that is. But I collect quotes, and I think that's a new one that I'm going to have on my emails. Okay, so then we've also been talking about this house metaphor. And you said that we're trapped in a house with multiple doors that don't lead anywhere except to another room in the same house. And that all these different things that we've tried to improve our lives have proven to be the same door, just with different labels. Then you went on to explain that there is only one door, and that, in fact, it's not new. And then you also said that every conflict and every problem and every answer, in fact, every solution, are all issues of the heart. And then the title of this particular teleseminar that we're doing right now is called The Front Door. So we're all here now. And the big question is, how do we find that door to our heart? Not the door that takes us to the same rooms over and over again, but the door to our heart.
Well, that's obviously the only reason that we're here. I was fascinated to hear Lenny being here from Tel Aviv, because you go over there to really find that the answer to that. It's his language. It's the starting point. And so we have to start at the very, very beginning, and we start there by dealing with the reality that we've got a vocabulary that we've lost the meaning of. We've got definitions that we use. Our heads are full of definitions, but we have lost the meaning of the words. We have to question. I question every word, every definition, and start over and say, do I know what that means? And so the fundamental place for me is that, as we said, we have to start at the very beginning. Now, here's a really important thing, and I said this last week. There is no specific word for the word in the ancient Hebrew. It's dabar, and it means essence. It means the thing itself, and it's not primary word. In other words, it's not used in the abstract. There's also no specific word for the word read. There's no specific word for the word think, and there's no specific word for the word mind in Hebrew. So that, where does that leave us? That's the essence of everything over here we've been taught. We got to know what words are. We got to know how to read. We got to know how to think. We got to know how the mind functions, and that's what it's all about. And there are no words for those words as primary words in the ancient Hebrew. So that's what starting over is all about. The ancient Hebrew has no abstract words. Now, I'm going to slow me down if I don't get this very, very practical, but this is huge, huge, and I believe everybody on this phone call is a genius. I've been told for years that I talk over people's heads. I don't believe it. I believe you're a genius and people talk down to you. So I don't mind stretching you and saying, wait a minute, you are an absolute genius and I can prove it to you. So if you don't get it, it's my fault because I didn't find the right words to communicate it. It's not yours. The ancient Hebrew has no abstract words. Every single word was a picture of something that could be observed with the senses. So every word's an action word. In other words, words designed to be experienced in the heart. The emphasis in the Hebrew is on the verb, which raises two fundamental questions. What experience are you describing with what you're saying to me? I don't care what you're telling me about. What are you experiencing in your heart when you describe what you're describing to me? And the second question behind it is, what does it mean? Now, in Western thought, Greek thought, we use abstract words all the time that are devoid of meaning that mean the exact opposite, Lori, of what we claim. The most abused word in the English vocabulary, obviously, is the word we need to hear most. It's the most important words to experience, and it's the most deceptive, hurtful words if they're not authentic, and that's the words, I love you. I love you. I love you. Now, how many times are those words uttered when they mean the exact opposite? I'm soon to be married 44 years. I shudder to think how many times that I've told my wife I loved her when in my heart I meant I love me, and I'm using the words I love you to get from you what I want or think I need for myself. So ancient Hebrew does not have abstract words. They're all words meant to convey activity, experiences in our heart. So that's what we got to do. We got to start back at the very beginning and say, okay, this is where we're going. Now, to go back for me, there's two primary sources. If we're going to start at the beginning, what's your beginning? How do we find where the beginning is? Well, beginnings for me are the ancient Hebrew scriptures, which said, in the beginning created God. The actual Hebrew says, Bereshit bara Elohim. In the beginning created God. The emphasis is on the action, created. And all of nature says, if you have eyes to see, you can learn about your heart by studying anything in nature. So this is what's so important, because we're going to be dealing with these two sources. Ancient Hebrew words that rediscover for us what the words mean, so that we can say, I really do want to learn to live from the heart. And Alex has done incredible amounts of research. As most of you know, everything about the healing code is to deal with issues of the heart. Just think of how much more the results can come when our faith, when our understanding of what's happening grows and grows and grows. That's why we're doing all this together. But the healing codes are about addressing issues of the heart. They're not designed for the head. They're designed for the heart, where the real action is and where the real problems are. And so let me give you an example of something. In the ancient Hebrew, The picture for the word amen is where we get the word faith, the root word for faith, is a baby being held in its father's arms. Ah, can you hear that? Now, I wasn't raised by a father. So how many of you know I've had a real question about whether God was there? And if he was there, would he be there for me? How many of you know that you know the minute I tell you I wasn't raised by a father that I've had a real problem with faith? See, all of life is based off love. We all know that. That's a self-authenticating truth. And love is inherently personal. I'm not interested in an impersonal God. Period. Where's love in that? Love is intensely personal, and we all know it. It's self-authenticating. Now, with this kind of emphasis, we now can go to a situation and say, okay, what in the beginning, what do we find out, what do we discover when we say we got to question what we believe, why we believe it, we got to become suspicious of the words that we know as intellectual definitions that have no experiential reality behind them, because that's not reality, that's not the way it was designed. Now, I already said before in the profound Hebrew insight that there's no word for the word word. Dvar is thing, it's matter, it's essence, and then it gets translated a few times the word word. So let me give you this illustration. It's the one that's most meaningful for me. Everybody instantly think of the time you have been the thirstiest in your whole life. When was your pH factor going bonkers because you needed water and you needed a dress, but you were just famished. You were, in quote, dying of thirst. Now, if I came to you in that situation and that was your situation, and I asked you if you wanted a glass of water, you would obviously said, yes, please. What would you think if I went around the corner to get you water and came back with a piece of paper with the words written on it, a glass of water? Think about that, folks. That is what we do when I say to my wife, I love you, and what is behind it is the love of myself. I gave her a piece of paper with the words, I love you, on it with no reality or essence behind it, and I've done it over and over and over. So we have to recover this lost vocabulary that enables us to experience the meaning behind the word if we're ever going to live. So the door is simply this. It's a place that we've got to go to learn a foreign language. If we've lost the vocabulary, then point of fact, we have to learn a foreign language. But here's what a foreign language is all about. It's a cascade of words. Listen to me carefully, folks. It's a cascade of sounds, words, sounds, for which we have no pictures. Oh, did I ever just say a mouthful? Why, if you're Chinese and can speak Chinese, you could be here all day in my home with me speaking, and it means nothing to me unless you start taking me and point to some things, because I have no pictures that go with your sounds. You're a barbarian to me, I'm a barbarian to you. We can't communicate with words if I have no pictures that go with your sounds. Now think about that. It's all, think of the movie Dances with Wolves. I'm sure many of you saw it. Think about Stands with Fist. Slowly, awkwardly recovering the language of her youth in order to find the love of her life. In fact, see, we once were experts in this language. We were experts until the adults in our life taught us the language of the house. And by the time we entered school, the language of the heart had practically disappeared. And by the third grade, abstract words and symbols for numbers had become the near exclusive means by which we were taught, and education was delivered up for us, and woe to the genius in us if we could not adapt to their inferior way of teaching. So if we just stop and think, really think, it becomes clear that the language of the heart's pictures, that's the way all babies learn. That's the way the synapses in the brain learn and store and program life's experiences. I didn't say life's concepts. Now, this is true not because I say it's true, but because in the beginning God said it and nature mirrors it and all neurological science and quantum physics validates it. And that's what Alex goes into such great detail about. So going back to the big book, in the beginning, first time in the big book the word heart shows up is in a massive, huge revelation. It says, and the imagination of the thoughts of the heart were on evil continued. The imagination of the thoughts, the thought, heart thoughts are in images, imagination. Some of you were on the call last week, and one of our friends asked this question, how do I go? How do I turn to the heart? And I asked this question, and what took place was amazingly revealing. I asked this question. I said, close your eyes, please. Can you see your mother? And the instant I said those words, she reacted and started expressing automatically and instantaneously the meaning behind her mother standing in front of her, because she could see her and every painful, hurtful thing that was related to that person instantly came out of her mouth. Because what I did was touch her heart. How did I touch her heart? Told her to turn and look at her mother. And we'll get into much more detail about this, folks. When you get into studying holograms and you get into the way that all these things electronically are taking place, they're just pictures of the way our hearts work. So the rediscovery of the heart starts with the language of the heart's pictures. But I do not mean black and white pictures, Lori, like a left brain guy like me for years saw those pictures. See, remember, when we're talking about heart, we're talking about what psychology and science would call subconscious or unconscious. Both are really bad terms because they're both totally false. There's nothing unconscious or subconscious about the heart. It is 100% conscious at all time. It never sleeps. And the reason that anything happens that causes me to have a negative reaction instantaneously is because my heart was totally alert to what was going on. It's just not conscious as far as thought that is up on the surface of my heart, which we might call mind. Major. So the heart is looking at pictures, but they are moving pictures. In fact, they're not even movies. They're the live experience being replayed, 360-degree surround sound, raw experience with all the feeling and hurt or joy or whatever the interpretation of that event was, live right now being re-experienced. That's why forgiveness is so important, because the past is not past until it's healed. The past is 100% current with all of its problems or its positives, 100% all the time. And if there's pain and hurt there, again, think healing codes. Why are the healing codes named what they are? Because they're codes that begin a healing process. Where does that healing take place? In the heart. I can give you big verses in the big book for that, too. So this is the essence of it. Now, let me give it go one real practical place. I'll stop, and Lori, maybe you can guide me with another couple of questions. But let me give you an example of how important this is. One of the principles we have to absolutely know about the heart, once we know that the heart never sleeps and the heart is 100% communicating on the basis of pictures, live, real pictures, then it becomes real important to recognize that we really are in any situation where our hearts are. And it's the only place we can be. We are where our hearts are. Well, what's that mean? Well, think about this. How many times have you been studying for an exam or studying something you decided to learn or thought you wanted to learn, and all of a sudden recognize that you've been through two pages or you've been over that page twice and you don't have the foggiest idea what's there? The reason for it's very simple. Where we are in our hearts is where we really are. And if our hearts are experiencing a conversation we had earlier with somebody, or is out of the room with somebody somewhere else, if we are what we would call daydreaming, really bad term, But if that's where we are in our hearts, there in any way in the world that we can get the data off of a page, because we are not there. I hope you heard me. We're not there. I mean, let me get real practical about how this helped me in my house. Remember, I don't learn any of this till I've been married 21 years. I came roaring into my wife 21 years ago and said, honey, you won't believe what I've discovered reading the big book. She said, what is it? And I said, we think in pictures and we don't know it. She got the most quizzical look on her face and said to me, what do you mean we don't know it? How else would you think? And I said, uh-oh. How else would you think? How about logically, analytically, conceptually, logically, that whole flow, all that left brain? All my life, I knew how to be over there. And she said as she turned out of the room, I couldn't think about anything if I couldn't picture it. And I said, uh-oh, 21 years of not being able to communicate. Isn't that amazing? I'll tell you, men, in advance, the women really like this seminar. So what that really means is this. It means that when we study, often we're not there. So just stop. Take a break. Get up and walk around. Do something, because if you're not there until your heart's ready to turn back in the book so you can read. Remember, last week we defined reading. We'll do it in detail at the seminar. Can't read anything in real reading by the Hebrew if your heart's not there, because it's an encounter. The key word for read is encounter. Oh, how amazing is that? So here we are. We're in a situation where we are where our hearts are. Let me give you a real down-to-earth example of what took place very early after I got into this. Kim walked into the room to ask me a question. I'm sitting here reading a magazine, and I'm almost finished. I'm down near the bottom of the page, and she says, honey, I need to ask you a question. Now, let me tell you what I did. I set the magazine down. I looked her right in the eye, and she started to ask me the question, and then I recognized what was happening. And I said, excuse me, babe, just a minute. Would you like to have my heart? And she looked at me like I was the craziest guy on the planet and said, of course. And I said, give me just 1 second. I turned back and looked at the bottom of that magazine. I wasn't there 20 seconds. And I put it down and said, okay, what is it? See, let me tell you what was about to happen. She was about to say, you know, we've not done anything for the kids for some time, and I'm about to go off the store, and I think we ought to really splurge, da-da-da-da-da, like this. And I'd say, well, sounds good to me. And she leaves, and she goes to the store, and I go back in the magazine article that I'd never left. A couple hours later, she drives up, honks the horn, says, will you come and help me get this stuff? And I go down to the car, and I say, what's this? And she says, we talked about this. And I would have said, we didn't talk about that. I didn't know that's what you meant. Why? Because I wasn't there. Now, 44 years of marriage, ask me how many times that's happened. See? It's real easy. Now, what is it about a woman, Lori, that can enable her to look a man in the eye and say, you're not listening to me when I'm looking straight at her or you? What is it? It's incredible. It's an intuitive thing. See, when she would say, you're not listening to me, before I understood this, she'd say, you're not listening to me. And I would say, yes, I am. And I'm running to short-term memory as fast as I can to recall the words. And I thought because I could recall the words, it meant I was really there. It didn't mean that. When I say, yes, I am, you said, at that point, I still don't know what she said. Because I'm not back to short-term memory yet. But I'm on my way, in a hurry, and can quote verbatim what she just said a few seconds ago. But I can't do it 30 seconds from now. I can only do it immediately after. Now, you can't get any more practical, folks, about how to preserve relationships, encourage relationships, strengthen relationships, and straighten out relationships than to recognize that you are where your hearts are and there's no place else you really are. That's where peak performance comes from. We can talk above things, but let me turn to you, Laura.
Yeah, that's what I was actually going to say. So in these practical applications that you're talking about, this is not something that's just applicable to one part of your life. This is, in other words, if you're not truly there when you are studying or when you're with another person or when you are playing an instrument, then you are not having that experience. You're just indicating it, like you're saying with these words that we've gotten so used to, with the term I love you. That's just become an indication as opposed to an experience.
Yeah, and it's so manipulative so many times, because our own hearts are really deceptive about what our real motives are. Motives in the big book are function of heart, doesn't have anything to do with intellect. Doesn't even have anything to do with why your soul says it's doing what it's doing. The real issue is in your heart. Remember, Solomon said, this is the starting point for all of this, watch over your hearts with all diligence, for from it flow the issues of life. Which one? How I hit a golf ball. I will tell everybody a feat. Somebody out there other than me is a golfer. I can tell amazing feat that I accomplished when I started over after not playing golf for years and years and years, and now understood heart and started over, where I took my score from at a starting point where I had it to in just a few months, because I was hitting a bucket of balls a week and doing it with my heart. I've had golf pros be in my seminars that if we didn't trust you, we'd say what you're saying is impossible. But I did it, and even stopped doing it after I reached the score I wanted to, because I was taking a lot of time to do it, to prove in a very difficult environment, a game that is extremely difficult, what could happen if you played that game with your heart. See, there's outcroppings of these things about the heart. We drive, you can't even safely drive in traffic without driving with your heart. So I'm glad the equipment is functioning. The question is, how do I maximize equipment? How do I get to peak performance? And every single expert in peak performance, no matter what words they use, are going to let you know that eventually it means that you're not monitoring, you're in the zone, you're in the flow, what has been, in quote, programmed in your heart's now free to do, knows how to do better than your heart, than your head can ever do, but only after practice, only after learning. So this is, we're starting over. We're learning how to live in a completely different context and environment, and it's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. But it is totally practical to every single aspect of life. There are no exceptions of something you can say, this doesn't have anything to do with heart. Well, get still and think, and you'll say, oh, sorry, missed that, it does. So it's peak performance. How do we get to peak performance in any area of our life? We have to learn how to rehearse. We have to learn how to meditate and think about that from our heart. And once our heart has it, the heart says, now, if you'll get out of the way, if you get out of the way, I can handle this now because I've got it. That's the real person in there, says, I've got it.
Awesome. I want to take some questions. It sounds also like this is really Life 101, it's relearning life. So that's what this seminar is all about. So if we could get the operator online here.